The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to The How of Business with Henry Lopez and David Begin, the podcast that helps you start, run, and grow your small business. And now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to this episode of The How of Business. This is Henry Lopez. My guest today is Fadi Maloof. Fadi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Henry. I'm honored to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. This is something I've been looking forward to. Today, we're going to talk about Fadi's entrepreneurial journey and how this approach of small wins is what I want to chat with him about after we talk about his entrepreneurial journey. Because I think in his experience with helping people with their health and fitness and those regimens, those small steps, those small wins are something that he's very knowledgeable about. And he's applied that to his own business, and I want to get his thoughts on how that applies to our businesses. So we're going to chat about that today, his entrepreneurial journey and those small wins that we need to look for in our business as we either start or grow a business. To receive more information about the How of Business, including links to the show notes page for this episode, just text the word biz, B-I-Z, to 31996. So let me tell you a little bit more about Fadi. Fadi Maloof is a master trainer, a life coach, an international professional athlete, a speaker, an author, and a small business consultant. And of course, he has his own successful businesses. He is a highly regarded authority in the wellness industry with more than 25 years of experience. He spent the first part of his career face-to-face with CEOs, celebrities, athletes, personal trainers, coaches, super moms, and super dads, helping them all transform from being overweight, sick, and out of shape and frustrated to a fit, confident, and productive person and professional. Fadi is the author of his book, Strong, The New Fit, which will teach you how to use your inner and physical strengths to be healthy in body, clear in thought, vital and active as you have fun realizing your dreams. He currently works with small businesses, corporations, and associations to help them implement and execute wellness programs, which then in turn increase productivity and reduce turnover, and also cultivates a healthy, energetic, and happy culture, which is so important for all businesses. He provides a straightforward, efficient, and effective corporate wellness plan nationwide using a dozen of his handpicked, tried, and proven modalities focused on authentic engagement, cost control, and wealth building. Fadi lives in Atlanta, Georgia. And so once again, Fadi Maloof, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Henry. That was an amazing introduction.
That was you.
Wow. Very good, sir.
And it's always good to hear
phenomenal
people,
work,
other
man.
People work about talk about us, right? But you've done so much, man. You've accomplished so much, and then we'll talk about it. But the thing that also excites me is how you have the courage to now pivot into, in the last couple of years, I think, into a different slant of your business, and we'll talk about that. But I always like to start early on. Tell me about your early life experiences and what drove you then, and then your early career. Just walk me through that briefly, if we could.
I'd love to do that. Thank you. If I may just share with you guys just a conversation I had this morning with somebody on LinkedIn that I've recently connected with. We originally met on LinkedIn and then we met in person. We're talking about, I'm going to ride my bicycle this weekend and it's going to rain. And he's like, well, be careful out there. And I made a statement that just kind of really resonated with myself. And this is going to go back to my history a little bit. And the statement is what I wanted to share with you guys. And so most people are afraid to do certain things. And you said, being courageous. I think that's a really powerful word. And when you see people be courageous, this is when things like mountains are moved. So I made this comment to him and I said, it's scary to be comfortable. And I kind of kept saying that to myself. It's scary to be comfortable.
Okay.
That's like inner dialogue that's been in my head that's just been running in the background. I've never said it before, but this morning, as I'm having this conversation, I said that to him. And those are the moments when you learn a little bit more about yourself, when things come out authentically. And I found it just very empowering. So I'm going to use this phrase and maybe it would inspire you. Most people are scared to just go out in the rain, whether it be walking or hiking or biking or whatever it may be. So right off the bat, I want to encourage people to be scared, to be too comfortable. Let's just say that. So whatever works for you. But my history as a child, how far back do you want me to go? Can I give you a timeline?
I think we're where you think life really began to have an impact for you. And in particular, when this thought that you've just now verbalized or vocalized about never wanting to be comfortable, when did that start, do you think?
I'd be honest, I don't know. I've known that I wanted to be better. And I wanted to continuously improve. I like to pursue what excites me, of things that most people haven't done. But it started with just me overcoming my weaknesses. And so many times, I grew up in a very critical household. My family loved me. They're always there for me, mom and dad, and I'm the youngest of four. And there was this kind of conditioning and being the youngest and always looking up to somebody. So it actually is one of the reasons why I've had success, because I, you know, reach out and look for mentorship like you, Henry. I mean, you're amazing at what you do. And I reached out to you and I wanted to learn more from you about how you do business. So, so there's always been a place in my life where it's, I'm looking to grow. And starting with a story from my first, from my book, Strong the New Fit, the first chapter is called Heads Up. And it's about a story of me learning how to ride a bicycle. And my dad is teaching me how to ride a bike in Jordan, Amman, Middle East in 19. I can't remember the year actually right now, but
it's been a little
it was a long time. It was a long time. Don't remind me. it was a dirt road and there was, you know, rocks and pebbles and I was afraid to hit the rocks and my head would go down as opposed to look ahead of where I wanted to go. And my dad would pull on my ear, on the back of my hair and to get me to look up and look straight ahead and say, son, look where you want to be. Don't be afraid of the rocks, because every time I'd look at the rocks, I'll end up going towards them and hitting them and falling. And I'd fell over and over and over. And my dad would just pick me up and tell me to go. Just try again, try again, try again. And I think that's where a little bit of my resilience has come from, how I've been able to stay consistent with doing things and doing things that are hard. And I'm really terrible at it. I've gotten to enjoy failing. You know, it sounds weird, but if I'm failing at one particular thing, I'm really focusing on one thing. I know I'm getting closer to getting, you know, to perfecting it or mastering it or improving it. Like for instance, training and coaching people is where I have the most amount of experience in my life. And if I were to count the hours, I probably have over 50,000 hours of training and coaching people. And they say, if you have over 10,000 hours and of any particular practice, you're considered as a master.
Right.
I don't know if it's true or not, but you know, I'm always learning. And the moment I think that I'm not learning, I'm dead.
Yeah.
You know, we're either winning or learning is what I like to say. So does that go far enough back?
Yeah. So I'm assuming, obviously, as you've mentioned specifically, your father was a big influence in this regard of this focus on always pushing forward, always fighting. Is that, who else was an influence in that, to that extent?
My dad was, and also my brother that's closest to me.
I see.
I have a total of four siblings. My sister's the oldest, and I have an older brother and the middle brother, which his name is Basil. He's in the real estate. He's done really well. He's been a huge influence. When I lost my dad at 17,
oh, wow.
He took me under his wings and he said, you know, Fatty, you're not 17 anymore. You are 27. Mm-hmm. So I moved out of, we had to sell the house at the time. My mom moved into an apartment, and she couldn't take care of me. I was on my own. I was already working, but I started, picked up one, a second job and a third job, and I was putting myself through school. And I just kind of, you know, made my way happen from there. So at 17, by the time I was 19, was it 20? I bought my first house.
Wow.
I saved up 20 grand cash because I didn't, I was doing a lot of side jobs and just stashing away as much cash as possible. I lived with mom for a very short period of time and then moved out and had an apartment. I think it was like $800 a month or something like that. I can't remember.
Was this in the States you had moved to the States?
This was in the States, yeah. I moved to the States in 1985. Okay. So I've been in Atlanta for over 35 years now.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
When did the passion for health and fitness, when did that start?
It started there when I lost my dad. My brother was doing personal training with his mentor, and his mentor had a local small private studio called 101 Fitness Specialist, and it was maybe 1,600 square feet. And they were kind of a pioneer at the time. There wasn't a whole lot of personal training studios around. He took me under his wing, and although I was working at fast food joints, I was at the golf course. I worked at I can't even remember some of the smaller odd jobs here and there, cutting grass, any way I can make money to pay the bills to survive. I was trying my best to do that. So there's a lot of stuff. And I was trying to pay for college to put myself through college.
What were you studying in school?
I was studying small business administration, and I actually got an associate in small business administration and e-commerce.
So at that time, did you know you wanted to have your own business?
No, absolutely not.
What were you thinking you would do at that point? And why? So why did you study business? Did you think you wanted to go into management for somebody?
It was actually an advice from my brother. He says, with business, you can do that with any industry, anything, any passion that you may have, you could do it. You know, you need business skills in any passion that you may have, anything that you're selling. So that was that. And then the e-commerce was kind of my, something I want to do, the web development. I have a little bit of a technical side. I would say I'm both left brain and right brain. And I built a number of websites because it was a way for me to express my thoughts. I didn't do very well with academics, and reading and writing was extremely challenging. I had a severe learning disability, and I had the second language, you know, English was the second language for me, and that was also very challenging. Mm-hmm. I didn't read a complete book till I was probably in my 20s.
Wow.
And reading and writing was almost non-existent into my late 20s. If I hadn't been for bodybuilding and training clients, I wouldn't be where I am right now. And it's one of the reasons why I wrote the book. The book inspiration came from my brother's mentor. His name is Paul Coleman. And he had a daughter, and I wanted to just share with people how I got to where I am today. I believe there's very few self-made millionaire or successful individuals. I truly believe it's the people that you surround yourself with. Actually, it's the combination of three things: the books that you read, the people you surround yourself with, and the places you visit really determines your trajectory in life, for sure. And, you know, Paul Coleman was somebody that I wanted, was in my book, and as many as other people like my brother and even girlfriends and mom and dad and other mentors. I just started writing the book as a thank you and telling stories. And from there, I published my first book, Strong Than You Fit. And it talks about fitness as a form of conditioning, where you're conditioning the physical, emotional, spiritual, financial. Anytime you're working on one of those, there's a domino effect that affects the next thing. And it's good to transition to different ones, because if you're trying to work on one area for too long, it's just kind of dulls out and your body doesn't respond very well. Just like how your body responds to nutrition. Nutrition is like medicine. If you're exposed to the same stimulant, your body doesn't respond to it very well. So vitamin C from an orange is great, but if you keep drinking vitamin C or eating eating orange for a source of vitamin C for a period of time, your body actually doesn't respond to it as well. So you switch it over and try to get vitamin C from bell pepper or, mm-hmm. or other types of fruits and vegetables. So I learned that bodybuilding and has really helped me with two things, discipline and how the body works. And everything is a process. And that's why I've really enjoyed training and coaching people. I love the process of seeing people develop their mind. What if they feel like they're weak in their mind, like how strong they are about their confidence or what they want to accomplish in their life, there's a process where you can work out of that. I'm re-listening to a book called Talent is Overrated by Jeffrey Colvin, and he mentions how most people can't remember a number more than nine digits. And he explains about a particular person that's not above average at all, that was able to remember, I believe it was 102 digits, which is amazing. The brain is super amazing at what you can train it to do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it that's done by just repetition and focusing on one thing for a long period of time. You'll always see some result.
Yeah. And
there's no question about it.
To me, that so much of that translates to small business ownership and being successful in business. You know, you're talking about what I call work ethic and discipline and sticking with something even when it gets hard. And your point about changing things up, I think also applies to small business, because we have to continuously, like you said, be willing to fail and pivot and adjust so that we can continue to evolve our businesses, because nothing stays the same. Even in business. When did you realize that this passion for health and fitness, that you could make a business out of that?
So I started personal training with my brother and his mentor at age 17, and I was under their mentorship for 4.5 years. And it came to a point where, it's a growing moment. I had to move on. And I didn't know really anything else that I was as successful as, and I did enjoy it. This was an opportunity for me to do on my own. So I was encouraged by somebody I had dated at the time. It was my first love. Her mother was, she worked for she was a paralegal, worked for an attorney, and she's like, start your own company. It's 1999. She helped me establish my brand, Body by Fadi, LLC. And she helped me do the incorporation, or her firm did. And that's when I started working for myself.
Did you have early success with getting clients, or tell me about some of those early days of building up a clientele?
I knew nothing about sales. I knew nothing about marketing. I knew nothing about business.
Right.
I took one thing, and I ran with it. My brother said, get one person that is looking to improve their life and, for instance, lose weight, and they're willing to work with a coach or a trainer and produce results and then get referrals.
So start with one, do it extremely well.
Well, right.
How long before you had a full book or full clientele? How long more or less was that period of
time? Back then, I didn't monitor anything. So it's not hard surprising. To say.
Do you recall more or less before, since you started, the day you felt like, okay, I've got a business here?
Yeah. When I left, I had like zero clients. I didn't know. I left. I went to a public gym, and I was able to find a gym where I can just pay a rent, a flat fee. And one of the gym owners, this was a company called American Sportsplex. The owner there helped me get started, gave me a t-shirt, and he says, start helping people on the floor and tell them you're a personal trainer and you want to help them, achieve their goals. And I just, every day I was just making friends and helping people. And I didn't know, I was so impressionable. All I knew was, okay, just help people. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting. I didn't ask for the sale. I didn't have any sales tactics. I just helped people.
How were you paying the bills then?
you know, I built up, I was always good about saving. My brother, my older brother, Basim, he's an amazing saver. So it's something I learned from him. But my family was terrible about finances. Like, I'd ask my mom, we'd go to church, and my mom, would, every time we'd tithe, I'm like, Mom, how much should I give? And she's like, Fatty, give from your heart. Give from your heart. I was like, how much is that? I don't know what to give. Do I put the whole thing? Right.
Give me some.
So I had no budgets. No, I had no education on how to manage money at all.
As most people don't. Yeah, most of us.
No,
don't.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But I would, you know, I would just, I don't know. I had saved up some money. I was in a brand new, well, I'd lived with my brother for a short period of time, and then I lived with two other roommates in an apartment. And I was maybe paying $200, $400 maybe rent, and just getting by, man. I always had a second job. I was doing fast food or cutting grass or something. I had some money always coming in from somewhere. So when I started personal training, I had already a little bit of income coming in, but it wasn't my main source of income.
Yeah, you were hustling with all kinds
of— I was hustling then, and I'm hustling now.
It never ends. That mentality never goes away.
It doesn't.
Yeah. But so much in this body that's interrupted is the small wins things I'm talking about, right? You didn't know it at the time, but you were taking small steps to get to where you are today. But continue. So let me ask it this way. When do you recall when you stopped? Hopefully you stopped for a moment and said, I've got a successful business here. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that. And that was when I decided to start bringing on other trainers on board and coaching them on how to be a personal trainer, a successful personal trainer. I remember a story from a guy that had worked at Gold's Gym. He'd been there for years and only had like 6 clients. And he came on board, and I just put everything in me into him. Same thing like my brother did. And it was my first time really helping somebody else make money. Mm. And I believed in my heart, because I was at one point making $240,000 a year doing personal training, which is unheard of. Yeah. About $250,000 a year.
And that was just you, or is that after you had a team?
That was just me.
Wow.
That was just me. If you do the math, let's say $500 a month. And I had it was actually originally $420 a month, 3 times a week. I only had one program, one price. And my brother told me, if somebody comes sees you, they're halfway sold on being trained by you. And it's just getting, you know, to start. And that's one of the hardest things for people, is to get started on something. And by the way, that's in every business. So it's not just personal training.
That's right.
In every business, people finally kind of take the leap, be courageous, and do something that they know they should have been doing for a very long time. And again, I had no sales tactics, no strategies. I mean, if you've seen the gym that we worked out of, oh my God, the desk was full of stuff, coffee stains, food. It was disgusting.
But people were getting results though, obviously.
Oh my God. They didn't. Yeah. It was I wish we had reality TV back in the day. When we had that gym. The equipment was 30 plus years old. Even back then it was rusted. Dumbbells are missing, broken. Carpet was ripped up off the floor, and it's different. I mean, it was a hole in the wall. And between me and my brother, we're pulling in about, I mean, it was just crazy numbers. I mean, I didn't know how we had the CEO of MCI, Marriott. We had all sorts of people coming in and we're training. And yeah, you're right. The result was the only thing we can hang our hats on. And you know what? We had fun. We cut up, we joked. The hour would go by for the client so quickly. He said, the clients would say, if it wasn't that it was entertaining, this would be living hell.
Yeah, as a lot of training can. All right.
What's that?
As a lot of training can be, and that's why people give up on it. But but a lot of that also translates to small business. When it gets hard, we can give up if we've not learned that discipline. This is Henry Lopez. Let's take a quick pause on this episode to chat about your small business dreams. Do you have a great business idea, but have just not been able to get it launched? Have you built a successful corporate career, but need some help making the transition to entrepreneurship? Are you ready to start building your own wealth instead of someone else's? I invite you to schedule a free business coaching consultation with me. Just text BizCoach, all together, BizCoach, to 31996 for more information. I welcome the opportunity to chat with you about your business dreams and goals and offer the guidance and accountability that we all need to launch our first business. As an experienced entrepreneur who also made the difficult transition from the corporate world, I understand the challenges you're facing, and often it's about helping you ask the right questions so that you can make progress towards achieving your goals. I can help you through your transition to becoming your own boss. To find out more or to schedule your free coaching session, just text BizCoach to 31996 now. That's BizCoach, BizCoach, to 31996. Or visit thehowofbusiness.com. Fadi, I want to move forward now because, I mean, we can talk about this forever, but...
Sure, yeah. And it really, this is just a little bit of my life.
I know. That's why it's so fascinating. That's why I was so excited to have you on the show. I want to fast forward. You built this incredibly successful fitness, health and fitness practice. And then you've made a pivot, not that you've abandoned that, but you've made a pivot not too long ago to starting to offer wellness solutions for companies, organizations, as I mentioned at the outset. Why did you decide to make that pivot?
Simply just to help more people. You know, with a personal training book, you know, 35 to maybe 50 clients in a year at a time, and I would have maybe one or two new clients a year. That's all I had with new, as far as new people coming on board. It wasn't that many. I retained clients for a very long time, and I averaged like 6 years. And my longest standing client is like 20 something years. So I wanted to help and impact more people positively. And I decided to move from B2C business model to B2B and see how I can help the performance of employees. To have, of course, connecting directly with the employers, the CEOs, the ones that are really sharing the vision and driving the mission. And
that's hard to do though, Fadi. I don't have to tell you, right?
It is.
You talk about not having any sales tactics that you were aware of, but now this is a completely different sale.
I feel like I'm 19 again.
So I think a part of it has to be beyond helping more people as you were ready for another challenge.
Oh, definitely. I've, as I said earlier, just being too comfortable is scary. When I did have the trainers, I actually kind of pseudo retired. I guess I can retire. I can say that I retired. I competed as a professional bodybuilder for 10 years. I was a judge. I retired from that. I stopped working for about a year and a half, 2 years. And I traveled. I worked all the time, so I've always wanted to travel. So I spent almost every month I was traveling somewhere, and I would be gone for a month or two at a time.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
So, but then I started investing in the market at the age of 25, and I realized that my broker is not doing what they said. You know, my agency, they're not doing. The trajectory wasn't as accurate. So I decided to take over my financial portfolio and start investing myself. And I originally plan B was my investments in the market. And my plan A was my business, but I was working doing transactional business. There was nothing that I can sell. The moment that I'm out of the business, there's no more income.
Right.
So I didn't have systems. Didn't have systems to for a company to say, you know, we want to buy your business. The one thing I've learned, and it's just really has sit home with me, is that I grew up, you know, work hard and everything will be fine. But that is the problem. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just be fine, man. I want to, you know, want to explode. I want to retire. I don't want to have to worry about money. I want to be able to do anything and everything I want anytime I want. So luckily, I love what I do. So I'll always work. And in a sense, I have and I do. I get to do the things that I love to do. I've got the freedom. I work from wherever I want. I do have that freedom for sure. But can I write a check for $1 million to a charity? Not yet, but that's my goal. Mm-hmm. That's going to hopefully happen sooner than later.
Yeah, and that's our aspiration. I mean, that's, I think that's why we become, at least certainly for me, it resonates with a lot of people listening as well. That's why we become entrepreneurs, is to have those freedoms, right? And everybody defines it slightly different, but at the end of the day, it's kind of the same objective. What would you say if I asked you to give me two, or I am asking you to give me mm-hmm. two personal characteristics that you think have been key to your success in business and in life? What would you say are those two things?
I care. That's one thing. Caring about people, genuine care. I think you can't fake it. You can't train for it. It's either there or it's not. So, and practicing. The second one would be, you know, getting me to sell something that I haven't bought myself is extremely hard. So I only promote and lead by example. And if I've not tried the product or tried the process or experience, I will let you know, like, hey, I haven't tried this, but I think this is good for you because X, Y, and Z. So those are the two things. I truly care. And care goes both ways. If I care and love myself, and I care the people and love for the people around me, it works both ways all the time. It's selfish and selfless at the same time. And then the same thing with, you know, good practice and leading by example and buying into products and services that you believe in, as opposed to just doing it for the money.
Yeah.
So those are the two traits I would say that have been most consistent in my life.
Love it. All right, let's talk a bit more about this concept of small wins. We've been touching on it, obviously, as you've been sharing your story. The reason specifically where I see this comes into play is that it applies when we're looking to start a new business, but also as an existing business owner, we can get overwhelmed very easily. We can get paralyzed by this mountain of things and challenges that we have to overcome to, let's say, open our first business, right? It's easy to talk about and dream about and even start to plan, but then there's a hard phase, right? That plateau. And as I think about it, it translates so much into what I think, and I suspect you help people, not the only thing, but that you help people in part to get through when you're helping them with training and health. Do you see that correlation as well?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. It's one of the reasons I got into life coaching is I read a good book called Good to Great by Jim Collins. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you probably read that one.
Yep, I've read that one. That's a good one.
And it talks about three components to the book. That's my main takeaway from that book is, what are you passionate about? What are you great at? And an economic engine around that. I got to a point in my life where just conversation about nutrition and exercise was very limiting me, and I wanted to expand and grow. So when I read that book, I reevaluated myself and I saw that what I'm passionate about is helping people, making a positive impact. What I'm great at, which I thought it was nutrition and exercise, yeah, I'm great. I was an authority for it. I mean, I would stamp things saying, you know, FODI approved, FODI approved, FODI approved. And I'm still authority in that space. But what I realized was, like, I kept asking myself, what do I practice so much on a daily basis? What do I have the most amount of practice? And that was coaching and training people. And I started really diving into a lot more with Tony Robbins, because he started working for a health club, and now look at him, you know, he's changing lives and motivating and training and developing people. So when it comes to business, most times there are entrepreneurs that are doing things, or just small business, that I wouldn't even probably consider themselves, call themselves entrepreneurs, but they want to be an entrepreneur. They want to be a small business owner. They have so much head trash. Usually they're maybe older and have had some bad experience in the background and their background, or people told them they couldn't do it. Most of my training and coaching or consulting with people is just getting the head trash out of the way first. Just what's in between their ears and their limitation there. You can't be afraid. You got to just take action. I like a gunshot, a shotgun approach in the beginning, and just take massive action and then you kind of figure things out as you go along. You don't have to have everything figured out. And there's different types of personalities. You have more of your planners. They want to strategize. And I've seen people, have 100-page plus business plan and have edited over and over and over and would never start the business. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to start a podcast. I meet them a year or 2 years, 3 years later. Yeah, we're still working on that podcast. I'm like, just start talking, man. Start interviewing people.
So when you face that with a client in the health and fitness arena, what can you think of a technique that you use that helps them start to take massive action?
Yes. There's a lot of them, but I like to call it the crowding method. Just do things that you've been wanting to do and forget all the things that you're holding on to. So everybody's kind of in some sense run. Let's just say you have a cup and that cup can only hold so much in it, right? You're going to have to empty it out if you want to put more in it or let it flow over. But either way, whatever original content is in that cup has to come out. So you could do it by just pouring over or dumping it out. But that's one kind of a little bit psychological technique.
But are we talking about there? Are you referring to there to that head trash or that mindset? Is that what we're talking about there?
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you another example that's way more familiar with it. So I get so many people like say, let's say they want to lose weight or it's the same thing. I want to make money. Same thing. Just kind of parallel those two. They're constantly focusing on what they shouldn't be eating. Right? Would you agree?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. So my approach with the crowding method is like, if you knew what it's going to take for you to be as healthy as you can with your nutrition, you wouldn't be so focused on what you shouldn't be doing. So because you don't know, and I do, so let me help you just interject on a weekly basis on some of the things. I want to set some goals for you and just pursue these. Whenever you have something that interferes, just think about what your main goal for the day is. And part of the process in my job is to keep them focused on that one new habit they want to develop. So for instance, drinking enough water. Most people don't drink enough water. Just by drinking an adequate amount of water in a year, you can lose 10% of body fat just because you were consistent with drinking water. People try to tackle really big things and they forget the small things, how effective being consistent with the small things. So for instance, in business, the number one thing is going to be sales. So many people focus on systems. Serving. Find somebody and help them. They're so adamant about the contract, how their brand is, how the LinkedIn is, and I've met so many business owners that never had a card, never had any form of business identity. And they just went into the market. They found a place where they can serve and start helping people.
Yeah, because I think what happens, Fadi, is we tend to want to hide behind those things. Oh, no, I can't do that until I get my business cards. Oh, no, I can't do that until I have my website. No, I can't do that until, there's always an excuse why can't do the... Right. Maybe the more courageous part, which is to go in and help somebody or go and offer somebody something.
Correct. And more recently, you find so many people jump into the market and try to compete and try to get 1 or 2% of the market. And more now, well, it's always been, but more and more now people are noticing that you want to carve out your own market and own 90 to 100% of it and not have any competition. And the moment you feel like you have some competition, you sell out, you're done. You move on to creating another avenue of serving people somehow, some product or service. And this is what I've seen that a lot of successful people do. Mm-hmm. They don't try to compete.
Right. But let's come back to this concept of one new habit at a time, because that's exactly what I'm talking about when I say small wins. It's breaking that incredibly monumental challenge that we have to get to starting a business one step at a time, one small win at a time. And that's what you help people with as well. In a lot of cases, it seems to me.
Yep. That is correct. It's always been the process. And people ask me, well, what makes you different? What makes you unique? It's like, it's my process. nutrition is nutrition, exercise is exercise, sales is sales, marketing is marketing, systems, platforms, they all have their thing, but they became a thing when it's because they had to go through a process. Mm-hmm. So the process is the training, it's the practice, it's all the same. And so my job, my flagship program is called Fast Track 7. And the question that I ask is like, you know, how are you fast tracking your results or your goals or your dreams? And I mean, is it giving you the results that you're looking for? Are you moving forward? That's really important. You're going to, you know, fail fast, move forward. And I wanted to kind of go back around something, but, I remember I noticed later on in my life when I read the book called The One Thing, I kind of got lost by doing so many different things. And when I read the book, The One Thing kind of brought me back to the essence of what I did. It really simplified things and had me focus on one thing at a time, because I'm a Gemini. I'm an entrepreneur. I see shiny things and I get distracted really easily. Okay. So, and I, you know, one of the reasons why I did so well with personal training is because I had one product, I had one source of referrals, and it worked. It was very simple.
And you stuck to that until you perfected that, right? You became expert at that.
Correct. And then I learned more about marketing. I knew that I had at least three different channels of marketing. I was doing television. We had the website, we had online, we had radio. I mean, people would come in and say, "Oh, I heard you on the radio and I was thinking this is what I really needed," but you know, psychologically, subconsciously, they didn't realize that they heard about my company multiple times. But there is a strategy when you have the budget to market, people don't usually hear your message, and there's a lot of noise out there with the way advertising is, as we all know, you probably heard this before. People don't usually hear you until they've heard your name at least three times, and they're not going to take action for at least seven times. And I think now that's actually even increased. You have to be on LinkedIn. Within a day, you scroll through that. I believe the numbers were like, you would see, I don't know, 200 plus companies, and which one do you remember? Right. Or which person do you remember on LinkedIn? It's just a lot of noise out there. So it's very difficult to differentiate yourself. And I don't rely on that. Unless you have the budget for it, you better have a really stellar product and great relationships with people to succeed in business.
But let me go off on a tangent there for a moment, Fadi. What do you think at the end of the day, all of that makes perfect sense, and that's been my experience as well. But why, what was it about you or what you were saying that connected with people?
When, which business, which brand?
You were doing television commercials and radio commercials and promoting your physical fitness, and maybe it was the whole package, but people came in and told you they heard you. What do you think they were responding to?
I took their life personally. I heard and talked about conversations about with people that normally they wouldn't talk with anybody. I mean, I have a great, really great joy to spend my personal time with a CEO before they go to the office and have to lead their team. And there, I'm having to deal with their demons every day, their struggles, and everything came out when I'm coaching with clients, saying it's a true honor to work with people at their ultimate lowest. And of course I get to see and enjoy their wins too. Mm-hmm. I have not met anybody that have not faced their fears. And nobody succeeds without meeting their fears. Everybody has to be courageous in order to overcome. Does that answer your question?
All good stuff. No, it's okay. What I was trying to get more at was in those commercials and those pieces of advertisement, what do you think you were communicating that resonated with people for them to take action? I mean, we talk about a lot. I mean, were you the voice and the face of those advertisements?
Many times, yes.
And what do you think you were saying that resonated with people?
People show up because it's for them.
And that was how you marketed it, and that's how you expressed why they should come and check you out, because you you somehow communicated that it was about them, that you were going to help them grow. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. It was for a long, very long time. It was about the result.
Okay.
Of what they can accomplish.
So lose 10 pounds or whatever, get fit for your beach body. Those are results oriented messages. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you shifted that and you said instead what generally?
Focused primarily on why they do things. It's become a lot less on the result, be honest with you, and why people do things.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. And that resonated with people because they felt like, okay, that's what I need. I know I need to lose 10 pounds, but Fadi can help me with fighting through that journey, with taking those small steps to get there. Is that fair?
It is. And what the why usually it comes out later. It's not on the surface. You got to really peel the onion over and over and over and really get down to the core. And I'll give you an example. I had a client that was sexually molested when she was 13 years old, and she had ate her feelings away. She was 280 pounds, and she didn't know why she did that. And she was 55 and never told anybody about it. So the whole process of working with me for 4 years and losing the body fat, not just losing the body fat, she was like shredded, like had 6-pack abs. If she wanted to compete, she could. It's just wasn't her personality. But, I still have the letter that she sent me, and she's like, because of you, you gave me the courage to open up about what happened to me when I was a child. I had no clue. This is how I found out. It's through a note that she has sent me. I was, raped. Now I'm gone public about it, and I'm helping other people deal with why, people do what they do. We have these internal motivators. I get so many people come to me, I want to lose. Well, why do you want to lose 10 pounds? Well, I don't feel good. I don't feel good in my dress. Same thing with money. I want to make 6 figures. I was like, why do you want to make 6 figures? I like money. I was like, well, okay, why do you like money? Oh, I want a new car. I was like, why do you want a new car? I said, it's because, I'm tired of my old one. I said, why are you tired of the old one? I grew up poor. I said, okay, why'd you grow up poor? I just keep going. Why? And I keep getting so much surface. And then boom, something would come up. My dad abused me,
And were these things that would come out over time, I got to think, right? As you developed trust with your clients, is that what you found? Or when would people start revealing these things to you?
Initially, I got none of that in the beginning. I only heard it when I got the result for the client. So it'd be a year, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10-year process. I still have people that reach out to me that I trained a long time ago and say, hey man, the stuff that you taught me, Fadi, it's like 20 years ago, I still use it in my life, for my relationships and in my business. Now I get to why really quickly, because the drivers, the motivators for people is huge. And it's very important for a coach to know what drives and motivates their client. Because if you don't know, you're not going to be able to hit that spot to say, hey, remember you told me this? Is this still your why? Has that changed? Oh, okay. People forget.
Yeah. Well, and Fadi, I can translate that for those listening who maybe are not in the personal service businesses. A lot of that applies to understanding our customer, understanding our client. The better we do, the more effectively we can communicate to them from a marketing perspective. And then so that we help them realize the results that we're helping them find, right?
Correct. For sure.
All right. One last question on this concept of small wins and techniques, and then we'll move on. We could keep talking about this for hours, but we do need to start to wrap it up. But tell me about a technique that you use. We talked about help with getting started and that unsurmountable challenge. But what about when you're working with someone and they hit a wall? In my experience, limited as it is in personal training, you hit a plateau, you hit a wall. What is something that you think you help people with on that, on continuing to fight through, that you think translates to a small business as well?
Two things. One, I have a curriculum I follow that keeps them on their toes. There's always an initiative. Keeping them moving forward is really important. Focusing on one thing at a time, learning about themselves. My protocol, my process is a discovery. There's so much information out there today. And I want to take that one piece of information that you think is very viable for you, very important, is going to produce the results you want in your business. And we want to implement it and test it and see what happens, see what's working, what's not working, and move on to the next one. Look at it into discovery, especially being an entrepreneur in the beginning. You want to just kind of not beat yourself up, take your time, and make it a learning process. That's one thing. The second best thing I would do is I just take their money and do things for them because they're too afraid. I said, just give me the credit card. I'm just going to do this because I'm trying to be nice here. I'm a very gentle and nice guy, but I have a side of me that I'll just take over. And right. Some people, that's what they need. They just need somebody. If you're dangling off the end of the cliff, you are holding on by your pinky. No matter how hard I tell you, come on, you can pull yourself up. Come on, you could do it, man. It's not going to work. I need to jack you up, pull you up off the cliff and help you. I need to do it for you. It's not going to happen. I've seen so many people struggling, fall. And they don't have the courage. Sometimes, when you do it, they have this huge sense of relief. They're afraid. I've had people shaking. I've had people crying. And I've had people just hug me and say, dude, thanks, man. I really appreciate that. I really needed that.
this is that people part of those three things you said, books, people, and places. This is kind of can translate into seeking mentors, seeking coaches, seeking peers. Yep. In your case, they've got a personal trainer that helps them through that. But I think that is one, you've shared a lot of great stuff there, but getting through that wall, when you hit that plateau or you crash, you need other people to help you get through it.
Absolutely. I remember one time I came back from a trip and I was gone for a month. And I came home and I had my checking and savings accounts were just negative $68,000. I saw, I opened up my bank account, I'm like, how could you have a negative $68,000? I was cleaned, I was wiped out. I'm like, holy smokes, what just happened? I'm freaking out. And of course, I call my mentor and he's like, I'll never forget. Really quickly, he says, whatever you lost, that's going to be pocket change for you in a very short moment. It doesn't matter. And I started saying, this has happened. This is what I said. He's like, it doesn't matter. He did not let me get into my story and creating head trash. We were so bad about making up bullshit before we even really know the facts. So that was a tactic or a tool that really works. As soon as something shitty happens, man, don't start making stories, man. That's the worst thing you could do. First thing you say is like, this is nothing. Cakewalk.
All right, but now I got to know what happened at least briefly.
I can't say it right now.
Okay, all right, but so something went bad.
Nothing that I really, did bad. Nothing that
it was not a banking error. I'm assuming it wasn't a banking error.
Part of it was.
All right. We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it.
Part of it was.
All right. I mean, listen, that's an interesting piece of advice. I don't know if I would, if I'm mature enough to take it, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start to wrap it up, Fadi. We've touched on it, but summarize for me the services that you currently offer your clients. And then I believe you've got a special offer for our listeners as well.
Sure. So for individuals, I love working with anybody that's looking to, no, I shouldn't say anybody. I'll be honest with you. Men, 30 to 50 year old men, preferably dads. I'm an aspiring dad. I want a kid, a family myself.
So, yeah, that can be a dangerous thing, Fadi.
I know, but
proceed with caution.
You're right. So I wanted to surround myself. Coaching people is a very personal relationship. So I've always, as I work on new project, I work with particular people that can help me grow into the business. That I'm involved, or the community of the people that I'm involved. If you're single and party, don't call me. Okay. I don't want to hear about your stupid whatever. So, and if you are at the school, you're going through that time, by all means, just count the hours that you spend drinking and partying and see what you could do else with that. So it's people who are really successful, want to take you to the next level, want to be an entrepreneur, or already a business person that want to take it to the next level, I'd love to work with you. And I can offer you a free consultation, a discovery to see if it's a good fit for the both of us and see how I can help you take it to the next level. That's one. My main push right now, I would say, is working with corporations, and I'm consulting and helping figuring out wellness platforms like softwares and for companies and packaging it with benefits. And it's all about rewarding the employees and helping the employees perform better and being happier and healthier. So maybe you may be aware of this, the war on talent. It's very difficult time right now to keep really good talent, and you have companies are fighting over employment. So I'm in that space right now. And the last thing is, healthcare is very expensive for individuals and up to small businesses up to 50 employees. So if you're you want to save 30 to 70% on healthcare, I have some awesome solutions that could put money back in your pocket to enough to hire maybe your first salesperson or your personal assistant. And so you can, you know, grow your company. So, those are the three things that I offer right now: corporate consulting, healthcare, and business coaching. And you can reach me at FadiMalouf.com. I've got a number of, I'm pretty easy to find online. And anything else, Henry?
No, that's it. That's a lot of stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of ways that Fadi can help you. So
LinkedIn is really good to connect with me there. Please do reach out.
Perfect. Yep. And it's a pretty unique name. I don't think there are too many other Fadi Maloufs out there, are there?
Nope. And if you are, I suggest getting your, if you don't already have a URL of your first and last name, that's one of the best thing you should do is, even if you're working for somebody, have your own personal brand. Have your own personal brand and keep building on that brand for sure.
Agreed. All right, let's wrap it up. Tell me one thing you think we should take away from this conversation that we've had on what I'm calling small wins. What's one thing we should take away?
How are you fast-tracking your freedom? That question, yeah, I'd like to ask that question myself.
How are you fast-tracking your freedom? So if I'm an aspiring entrepreneur, what do you think that means to me?
That means that you're not procrastinating, not making excuses, taking action, lots and lots of action, and and just keep working, revising your vision on a daily basis. Your freedom, everybody has, freedom is different for everybody. And most people don't even know what it is. A lot of people are acting and wanting to make more money and doing things because society told them, their environment told them, you know, if you just keep asking yourself, why is this freedom to me? You become more clear about where you want to be. So that's the end in mind. That's the result. The fast tracking portion of it is the process, it's the training. But all that starts with the questioning initially, and like some insight about your personal self, where you are now, and being honest with yourself and where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. And for an existing business owner, a lot of that still applies, but how would you
explain it? Many people get in a bad habit of being in a good habit. I'll say it again. Many people get in a bad habit of being a good habit. So some certain things, certain, you know, good routines still need to be broken.
Yeah.
Because you will stagnate, and if you're competing, people will pass you. If I hadn't shifted out of personal training, I mean, the market got completely saturated. When I was doing personal training, there wasn't as many people now doing it. I mean, my clients, there were teachers and real estate people that they start, you know what, I love working with you so much. Now, I mean, I'm a personal trainer now too. So, I mean, the market got saturated. So don't compete. That's what I say. Competing is for losers.
All right. That's pretty strong. I love it. All right. Tell us again, you just mentioned it, but tell us again, one place that you would prefer we go to find out more. Online, that is.
FadiMalouf.com or LinkedIn.
Perfect. Fadi, this has been a very interesting conversation. I could go on for another hour, and we'll have you back on the show in the future, I hope. But thanks for indulging me with all these questions. Thanks for sharing, and thanks for being on the show today.
Henry, you are the man. I really appreciate you. I had a blast. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We'll have links to all of the books that Fadi mentioned, as well as his book, again, is Strong, The New Fit. You can find that all at the show notes page for this episode. And so my name is Henry Lopez. Thanks again for listening to this episode of The How of Business. My guest today again was Fadi Maalouf. We release new episodes every Monday morning, and you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and at our website, thehowofbusiness.com. You can also just text the word biz, B-I-Z, to 31996 for more information.
Thank you for listening to The How of Business. For more information, links, and other resources, please visit thehowofbusiness.com.